Words from the Gospel reading for today. Thanks, Maggie, for that delivery. And it's from John chapter 10, and the specific verse on which I invite us to focus today is verse 16. Jesus said, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." The invitation. And then the welcome. Today is generally called Good Shepherd Sunday in the church. And the readings point to the love of God through Christ, our shepherd. And you know, on a Sunday like this, when we hear the familiar readings, we can become a bit complacent, can't we? Because the familiar often tend to put us in that state of mind, that frame of mind, where we say, oh no, not that again. I've been hearing about this Good Shepherd forever. And I hope it's not going to be one of those little boring talks about how wonderful the Good Shepherd is. But I'm challenging each and every one of us today to think of ourselves having been baptized and having made a commitment to follow Christ, to think of ourselves as a good shepherd in whatever context we happen to function. So today is Good Shepherd Sunday, but it is also Earth Day. And Earth Day is an annual event celebrated on April 22nd worldwide, where various events are held to demonstrate support for environmental protection. And I see Nigel, our own local facilitator on environmental issues, he's smiling today because he is wishing that every day could be Earth Day, isn't it, Nigel? And Nigel and others have been very diligent in telling us what to recycle and where to place them, et cetera, to do our own little bit here. But in the Anglican Communion, there's been quite a lot of support in the call to care for the environment. Anglicans have considered this call to be so important that it is one of our five marks of mission. And not to get into a lot of detail, but we are reminded that the five marks of mission apply across the entire Anglican Communion, and they express the Anglican Communion's common commitment to and understanding of God's holistic and integral mission. And we must bear in mind the way the Anglican Communion is structured. The Anglican Communion is just that, a communion of all the Anglican provinces from across the globe. The Archbishop of Canterbury is the titular head, but he does not have the same authority as the Pope. So the Anglican Communion is more like a confederation of Anglican provinces. But those five marks of mission identify what we have in common. And this has been formalized since 1984. At what is called the Anglican Consultative Council, which is the coordinating body. So I read to you very quickly what the fifth mark of mission says. It says, to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. So that is our commitment from the Anglican Communion. And so the church is engaged in environmental initiative in so many ways, in showing our commitment to the overall purpose of Earth Day. However, today, with Earth Day as part of our context, I invite you to focus a bit on the gospel reading, where Jesus begins by calling himself the Good Shepherd. He identifies himself with the positive aspects that were read to us in verses 11 and 14 to 16. And this is in contrast to the general approach of the hired hand. But we must bear in mind that in Jesus' time, the Palestinian shepherd was noted for the protection of his sheep. The shepherd always led the flock and walked ahead of them. He knew each of the sheep and usually had a name for each of them. And I remember my days growing up, I didn't have sheep, but I don't know if anyone knows guinea pigs. I had guinea pigs. And it was a mixed blessing, frankly, because just when I had to go and get the feed for the guinea pigs, that was the time when I should be playing cricket or soccer with my friends. So if you've grown up in an environment where you had like a pet, you know the pros and cons. But it's a very personal relationship. And for those who have pets, you know it's a personal relationship. So the sheep knew the voice of the shepherd. And when called, the sheep would be obedient. The shepherd owns the sheep and is committed to the sheep and cares for them out of love. And the commitment of the shepherd goes to the point where the shepherd is willing to go far beyond the call of duty, to the point of laying down his or her life to care for the sheep. Yes, the father cared for the son in relationship, and the son, as a good shepherd, transmitted that love to the sheep. Jesus was clear about the shepherd's willingness to die for the sheep, as he alluded to his own death for our salvation. So my friends, do we recognize the good shepherd in our lives today? We are in the season of the resurrection when we think of Jesus' appearances to his followers. And we recall from scripture that many truly did not recognize him. In fact, at the tomb, Mary initially did not recognize Jesus. On the walk to Emmaus, Jesus was not recognized. When Jesus appeared in the upper room, he was not recognized. So do we recognize Jesus in our lives today? During Jesus' earthly ministry, he described himself in so many ways that people could recognize him as he revealed the complexities of both his divine nature and his human identity. So, just for a minute, think of some of the statements that Jesus made. And he made these statements to identify the roles he was ready to fulfill, how he would meet our needs, and also how he would help people to understand him. And we have a few here, a few examples of what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life." And we know he was referring to spiritual food as well. "I am the bread of life that satisfies all of the longing in our hearts." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I remove the darkness. I bless, I consecrate." Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the pathway." Salvation. And today Jesus is reminding us that he is a good shepherd. He's revealing the characteristics of the good shepherd, because Jesus used examples that his audience could understand. And if we were to think of the people to whom Jesus ministered, there were people he met as he went through the villages, through the towns, and out of the way places. Because we would recall that Jesus did not really minister in the major centers. So they understood what it meant to be a shepherd. It would be interesting to take a poll to see how many really know what a shepherd is in our modern days. But having used all of these illustrations to describe himself, the true identity of Christ remained a fundamental question throughout his ministry, and it still remains a question for many of us today. So I pose this question: what distinguishes Jesus from the other prophets and religious leaders and teachers of his time. And what makes him unique as the Son of God? Who is this man, Jesus? Now, in the book of John, immediately before the excerpt, which is the gospel reading for today, Jesus made the bold claim about his mission and purpose. Verse 10, just before we looked at this excerpt, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." That's why Jesus came, and that is what the resurrection is all about. But just as in the time of Jesus, today there are false doctrines and perhaps false prophets. Sometimes there's a tendency to interpret scripture in a way that might be self-serving. And the other day I was listening to a broadcast. Every now and again I tune into some Christian radio stations, and the speaker was castigating fellow pastors who enrich themselves at the expense of the people who tithe and to contribute sacrificially to religious causes. Now, I won't get into the details of some of what he said, but he was very, very strong in urging fellow pastors to be faithful to the gospel. We are fortunate in the Anglican Church in that the clergy, we don't handle the money. Thank God for the wardens and the treasurer, and that's the way it should be. We handle the Bible, and others handle the purse. And thank God it keeps us focused. But it's a very serious matter when in the church, people lose confidence in what we do because they get mixed messages. And quite often, this contributes to the indifference to the gospel message. But just think of what this church would be like if our families and friends responded positively to what we present and what we represent. Just think of what it would be like. My friends, Jesus assured his followers that in all of this, they must be consoled by the reality that he was one with the Father from whom he received his authority, even to lay down his life for those who follow him. But he was inclusive in his message, and he was very, very clear that being the good shepherd has some responsibilities about morality, about being in one with every person with whom we have the opportunity to interact. So the gospel message is an inclusive message, and Jesus was very, very clear when he said, "Other sheep I have that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." Despite the fact that some people were responsive to Jesus, he pointed out that there are still many out there who need salvation and the grace of God. It is difficult from analyzing the scripture to clearly establish who the other sheep happened to be. But research has suggested, and I agree with this conclusion, that Jesus was predicting that non-Jews would also come to faith. And with converted Jews who formed his initial audience would form one spiritual body, the Christian church. So as the church, we could certainly use the model of Jesus. And I am suggesting three things that we could do following the example of Jesus. First of all, we can work at building and maintaining the unity of the church as we are made one with Christ. So first of all, the unity of the church. Secondly, we can work diligently to reach out to others because Jesus said there are other sheep who are not of this fold. so we can work diligently at this. And thirdly, we can be disciplined in our life of Christian worship, our Christian interaction, and our rhythm of service to each other. So first of all, the unity of the church, secondly, reaching out, building up the church, and thirdly, our own discipleship. Because we too are called to be good shepherds, to be committed to the point of taking risks for the gospel. Because we acknowledge that we have also been baptized to be examples to others. And so we invite others to get involved in the ministry of the church according to the will of God. So in summary, the Good Shepherd is always with us. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Three thoughts for reflection. The Good Shepherd represents the relationship between God and man. He represents the relationship that the risen Christ brings life to us. According to Jesus, a good shepherd stands apart from a hired hand because he shows immeasurable love to the extent of giving up his life for those he leads. And the willingness to sacrifice is rooted in the love of Christ and the care that the shepherd feels for the ones he leads and protects. And so we think of another way that Jesus describes himself. I am the resurrection and the life. And we know that from John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. So first of all, as we think of the Good Shepherd, we think of the relationship that we have with God and with each other. Secondly, we think of the responsibility as a good shepherd. Jesus is willing to take responsibility, and he died for us. And we too must take responsibilities as good shepherds in our own context. So first of all, we think of the relationship. Secondly, we think of the responsibility. And thirdly, we think of the response. As the sheep respond to the shepherd because they know his voice, so we in faith respond to the message of the gospel. Because Jesus, our good shepherd, promises to lead us into green pastures. Very familiar, isn't it? To give us the safety and freedom to enjoy without fear while he stands by to protect us. But this freedom to live is by God's grace, not through our own, not through anything that we deserve. Because we, like sheep, we have done nothing to earn the sacrificial love of our good shepherd, who willingly laid down his life for us. And so at this Eastertide, we say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. And so, my sisters and brothers in Christ, we live with conviction that the resurrection of Christ has defeated sin and death. And the people of God shall say, Amen. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for each and everyone gathered here today. We thank you that you've stimulated our thoughts and you've motivated us to obey the Good Shepherd and by extension reflect the qualities that could identify us as good shepherds in our own environments as we interact with others. And Father, may we be careful to give you all of the praise and all of the honor and all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.